Well, like Jerry said, my name's Dylan Hagen, and I'll be trying to do what Chad does every week, which could be a challenge for me, so bear with me, all right? So, but it was funny because I actually wasn't the first choice to talk today. So, that's what I thought, too. I was like, thanks, Chad. So, he's like, well, Dylan, we really wanted someone who was really kind of funny and then maybe just keep the crowd alive and just so they could just have a good time while they came to church today. And that person said they couldn't come. I was like, oh, cool, that's all right. I was number two in line. And he's like, well, actually, he's like, the second person we're looking for is like someone who's just really good looking and it was just like super professional and just was real smooth and they could just deliver a real impactful message. And they said no, too. I was like, okay. And I was like, third in line, please. And he's like, no, actually, we're looking for a historian. It was the third person that they called, someone that just knew their facts, knew the Bible inside and out, and just somebody that could just wow you with the facts of the Bible. It's like, man. And he's like, was I fourth? He's like, no. So after he called Chuck Norris four times, Chuck said, hey, you have a guy in your church, Dylan, he's not attractive. He's not good looking. He's not very professional, and he doesn't know anything about history or facts or any of that stuff. He goes, if you have him speak, it's going to be if something good comes out of that, it's going to be a miracle, and you can give God all the credit. So that's why I'm here today, and hopefully, just bear with me a little bit while I go through this. And my wife's down here, and thankfully, she's a professional speaker, and she lets me know when I do unprofessional things like clear my throat, so you probably will hear that. Professional speakers, I guess, aren't supposed to pace, but I'm already pacing. So, and then my stall tactic for you when I don't know what I'm going to say next is So, if you want, you can just start tallying those up right now, and I'll try to work on those too, okay? But you do have a balloon on your seat, and if you don't have a balloon on your seat, I will ask you later in the service to grab a balloon, but for now you can just leave it there. You did not get invited to a birthday party. We're just going to use that here later in the service. So, I was praying throughout the week, and once Chad asked me if I would speak, I was praying. I mean, I knew this about 3 weeks ago, so I've been praying and praying, and Chad has been going through the book of Jonah, and so I've been thinking of, like, how am I going to do this today, and I was asking for open minds and open hearts, that people be able to receive what I say, not take things out of context, and not offend anybody. But after last week, I really started almost praying that you all forget what Chad said last week, because it was a great sermon, and nobody wants to follow that one. So, but if you haven't been here the last 3 weeks, you can visit the website, our website, www.newlifewichita.com. And to be honest with you, Chad's last 3 weeks, but last week in particular, was the best service I've heard since we've started the church, and it was the best message I've ever heard on Jonah. So if you want to hear that, they're available on podcasts, and you can watch them online as well. So definitely want to check that out. And Chad also told me, he's like, Dylan, we're going to give you a spot for about 30 to 35 minutes to talk. And I was like, okay, I can do that. But if anybody is used to public speaking, usually you talk faster because you're nervous. And so you just go through things. So, and I can attest to this because I did my brother's wedding a couple months ago. And I was thinking, I just want to keep it on 45 minutes to an hour. I don't want people to be like, oh, it was just one of those long weddings that wasn't very good. Well, I got it done in 21 minutes. And that includes people walking up and down the aisle. So I was like, geez. So I was fairly nervous, so hopefully it won't be that short today. If it does get done short, you can go to lunch early, so that's always a good thing too. But I will just a couple of disclaimers is the reason why I can be up here and talk today is because I do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I did get saved, and to me, I also believe in the vision of this church. I believe in our core values of the church, and wholeheartedly, I'm excited to be up here and to be able to share with you. And I did not, however, I've never been to seminary school. Everything I say is just going to be from being part of Christians. I mean, I've been saved since I was 21 years old is when I got saved. And I'll go through my testimony here in a little bit and tell you a little bit more about that. But my hope for you today is if you're a non-believer in here and you just haven't developed that personal relationship with Jesus Christ yet, my goal for you today would be then just to ask yourself some questions while I'm talking. Is one would be like, what's holding you back? Okay? Maybe it's going to be you have some unanswered questions that you haven't asked somebody before. And those questions keep going. And it could even be believers at this point, too, because a lot of believers have questions that they just don't vocalize or don't dig into the Bible and try to figure out. I know before I was, when I heard the word saved, I didn't know what that meant. I was like, what does that mean? They keep saying saved and personal relationship. What does this mean? But my goal for people who are non-believers are just, we want you to belong before you believe, but we also want to create an environment where you feel free to come up and ask questions so you get some of those answered, okay? And for the believers here, it's my prayers for you is that you get stretched outside your comfort zone, that you realize that where personal growth happens is right outside your comfort zone. I mean, I'm a big person of living in your strengths and doing what you're good at, but you also, to get better at things, you have to step outside your comfort zone a little bit to make yourself an overall better person. So that's my goal for you. But if you don't mind, I'm just going to pray real quick. Father, I just pray that you open the minds and the hearts of the people here and anyone watching online or and just let them see the message I'm trying to convey is not to call anybody out, but just to more have a conversation with them versus speaking at them and just be here with them and just bless this church. Let us make a difference in not only our city, but the state and eventually the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about evangelism is the topic that I'm going to talk about a little bit today. And to be honest with you, you can throw up the definition here. I'll get to it. But I didn't even know before I was a Christian, I heard the word. I've heard of evangelists. I've heard evangelism. I've heard of all these things. I didn't know what it was, though. I mean, if you would have came up to me when I was 20 years old before I got saved and said, hey, Dylan, what's evangelism? I'd be like, something to do with church. And that's all I would have said. I don't know what it is. And I thought, just for, if there are some people that don't believe, evangelism is the spreading of Christian, this is by the dictionary, the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. So it can be someone speaking in public, or it could just be you and somebody over a cup of coffee on a lunch break or anything like that. So a verse that talks about us as Christians, what we need to do next as once we get saved, one of them is Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. So, I already said I'm going to talk about my personal testimony, and I think I could speak for everybody in here. There's a road that you go through as a personal testimony. This was made very clear to me. Actually, a couple weeks ago, Chad invited ECC and a lot of churches around the area in Kansas, Missouri. I think maybe, I'm not sure if Oklahoma was in there too, but there's some people here, and I got to go to that. And a gentleman named Alex was talking. I can't think of his last name. I should give him credit for it, though. But he was talking that on average, it takes 7 touch points for a person to eventually follow Christ. So I was just going to share what the 7 touch points I had as my walk as a Christian evolved, and where my testimony is. And to be honest with you, it's not a very exciting testimony. I mean, as you'll find out, I always like to hear those testimonies, like people that were drug addicts and then they just stopped cold turkey and then they were powerful for Christ, or people like Apostle Paul who was like just hated everything to do with Christians, wanted to kill them, do everything against them, and then he completely turned the other way and just was fanatical about it. Mine is pretty boring, to be honest with you, but I think a lot of people may feel like their testimony is boring, and what can you do with a testimony that may not be as dramatic as some other people's testimonies? So I'm going to share that a little bit here. So, and throw up the PowerPoint slide real quick. And these are just some of the where I've been in my life. And number one, I would say I grew up in a middle-class family with great parents. My dad was a construction worker. My mom was in in-home daycare system, and they're still married today. They have great morals. They took me to church every Sunday. So I would say I started out good. I mean, number one, I guess I was born, so that's my starting point there. Okay, so number two, eventually as I got old enough, I went through confirmation classes at the church I went to. The thing that you did as you entered, I believe in junior high, you started to go to confirmation classes. And to be honest with you, I kind of mailed them in. I didn't really do a whole lot with them. I would kind of frantically read ahead of time, or I would kind of be that person that wouldn't raise my hand because I'd try to figure out what other people were saying so I could try to read some stuff so I could maybe partake in the conversation. But during confirmation, I remember the day I got confirmed, we had to go in front of our congregation, and I just remember thinking, do not make me recite the Bible, the names of the books of the Bible. Please do not make me do that, because then I am not a Christian. And that was my view on Christianity. It's like you had to know so much before you become a Christian. Thankfully, they didn't ask me that, so I could say I was a Christian. I was like, whew, got through that one. But going through confirmation class, they were good, because it helped me believe a little bit more, helped me understand the Bible a little bit more. Number three is in junior high and high school, I would go, had some friends in town that were the Christian people in my school. We're a real small town. They're the Christian ones. But they would go to Awana's. And Awana's was amazing as a kid because you got food and you played games. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. You could play roller hockey and just kind of bang on each other, basketball. But always at Awana's, there's always a part where they'd bring everybody in and they would have someone to deliver a message. I remember every time I left there, I'd always feel good about myself. I'd always think, there's got to be a God out there. But he just said that, he'd talk about evolution versus creation and all these things. They'd have all these good messages. And I was like, there's got to be a God out there. But I never really, I don't know if it was just I was immature or didn't have ears to hear or I don't know what it was. I just didn't care, to be honest with you. I mean, great, if you're a Christian, I would say, fantastic. If you would ask me back then, I'm a Christian too. But if you would ask me why I know that, I wouldn't have been able to tell you why. Four would probably be when I kind of got into high school, and Itati, don't hate me for this, okay, because she's a science teacher, and I was like, they started talking about evolution in the classes. I was like, just give science enough time, and they're going to figure out how we all got here. Now, being more of a mature Christian, I understand that evolution, there is truth to that. There's evidence that evolution did happen between species. Now, there's not a lot of evidence that humans evolved from amoebas or monkeys or whatever they say it was. But as I would do that, I got a little bit further down. Like when I got into college, my biology class was a little bit more that way. And it's like, okay, they had more facts, more things. Like, science is going to figure this out. Just give them some time. Eventually, I'm still waiting on science, so it's a lot of time I got to give them. That's where I was. I remember meeting one of my college roommates my senior year. I met him my freshman year. He had a cross on with a crucifix of Jesus on there, and it was my freshman year. And he's like, "Hey," and he goes, "My name's Jim." I was like, "Hey, Jim, I'm Dylan." Da 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 da. And I like your cross. He just figured I'd say, give a compliment. And he goes, he goes, he looked at me right in the eye and goes, "I love Jesus Christ." I was like, "Whoa, you're weird." I was like, "Okay," but the thing was, he never asked me if I liked him. And it was just me at that time. I was just so vanilla. I didn't take sides. I wasn't going to ruffle someone's feathers. I was very glad that he liked it, but I just didn't care. Again, I didn't care. It wasn't until I met a business team of people who I consider best friends. They led me to Christ. They're mentors of mine still to this day. And they took me to a conference where I saw an altar call for the first time. I was like, what kind of church is this? I honestly thought I was in a cult. I was like, am I in a cult? I was like, this is crazy. It's like there's people that were there for a conference and went to a non-denominational church service on Sunday during the conference, and lots of people gave their lives to Christ. I was like, and I just stood back, like, okay, that's kind of weird, but I'll deal with them. And these people were really, they're just outrageously generous to me. Like, they lived 2 hours away. They lived in Des Moines, Iowa. I lived in Mount Vernon, Iowa. I was a college student. I was a punk college student. I had long hair, like down to here. I wrestled. I played baseball. I would show up to meetings in like my best dress-up clothes, which were like cargo pants and like Abercrombie stuff, and like my Doc Martens, those big boots that weigh like 50 pounds. So I'd wear those, and it'd be crazy because they'd come up there and I wouldn't have anything for them to do, and I'd call them ahead of time, say, "Hey, I don't have anything for you to do. Just you don't need to show up today." And they would still drive up and meet with me. I was like, "Why are you driving 2 hours?" I mean, the guy was married. He had kids at home, and he would drive up there, and he would just he started a relationship with me. And I'd hear him talk every once. He would talk about Jesus, and just like, again, good for you, buddy. At this time, I saw the altar call. He talked about Jesus, and he started giving me some books to read. It kind of piqued my interest in a little bit more. So it was for the first time I actually wanted to know more about Christ, because their actions didn't match up with the actions I would expect somebody. I thought they shouldn't drive 2 hours to come see me, and a lot of things. So I started reading more about it. Actually, a crazy thing about this whole week's been kind of crazy, just because I knew I was going to speak today. And one of the books they gave me was Case for Christ. And if anybody, they just came out with a movie, Case for Christ. Great movie. My wife laughs at me because I'm a crier, especially if she's like, Christian movies, are they kind of sometimes cheesy? Yes. The acting can be kind of cheesy a little bit. I mean, it's hard to convey in a movie a personal relationship with Jesus. It's very hard to do that in a movie. So I give them props for doing it. But I don't care. I will cry every time someone gets saved. I was like, I look at her at her, and the guy gives his life to Christ, and I'm just like, tears are streaming out, and she just laughs at me. I'm like, seriously? But I just thought it was interesting that we watched a book, or watched a movie last night while I was thinking about this. And it just brought back flooded me with memories, thinking like, because that was one of my big hang-ups was, scientifically, I want some facts showing that Jesus walked the earth. And if you haven't read that book, it's a really good book. I met these people, I saw an altar call, so I started exploring churches, and I went to, I was in Ames, Iowa at the time, I went up to a church, I remember went to a Baptist church, and they did an altar call. I was like, they do it too! I was like, whoa! I was like, it's not a cult thing, it's a church thing! I was like, this is crazy! So, it was the second time I saw, and actually the next church I went to did another one. I was like, whoa, I was like, maybe it was just because I was in a small town. I just didn't, and again, I probably didn't have eyes to see and ears to hear because I just didn't care back then. But it started opening my eyes to really wanting to develop that relationship with Jesus. Eventually, November 16th, 2003, I gave my life to Christ. That's number 8 there. And you can see as I met the business team and asked questions, it went up. But even after I've been saved, I mean, I would still say there's ups and downs. I would say that when I am most connected to Jesus is when I make time for him and when I'm doing life with other people. It's when I separate myself from other people. Whether it was for a long time when I moved down here 6 years ago, it was tighter with my mentors and I spoke to them more often. And then for a while, I didn't talk to them for a long time, or there'd be long times in between talking to them. And I would see my walk with Christ go because I wasn't doing life with other fellow Christians. I was going to church every Sunday. I was doing the things I was supposed to do, but I wasn't doing life with people that I was supposed to do. And then Chad started New Life Wichita, and I remember talking to my wife. I said, we need to be part of the church. We need to be all in and just be authentic community. And then again, I can see our personal relationship with Christ and our spiritual going up again. So that's a little bit about my testimony. And just to share it, I always challenge people too, if you don't know your testimony, try to write it down sometime, because it helps you when you have conversations with people. I mean, I have a lot shorter version too, I can tell people, but I figured I'd bore you with the long one. But a lot of why sharing your personal testimony, it can be out of your comfort zone. And that's what I'm going to spend the remainder of time talking about, is our comfort zones. And why is it that it's so hard to talk about our faith? Not everybody. Some people are very gifted with it. But why is it so hard to talk about our faith to other people? And part of it, I think, is society. And one of the things that people tell you never to talk about in society is what? Your religion, Christianity, right? Which I think is wrong. And I'll get into this a little bit more as we get to some of the verses. We should talk about it, but we should be polite when we talk about it. We don't have to put up walls and garters, and if somebody says something that offends us and we don't agree with, you can still love them. And that took me a long time to realize, because when I first became a Christian, I thought, I'm powerful. I have this guy with me, and then if someone says something I don't agree with, I can tell him no and make them feel really bad and probably, honestly, hurt their walk with Christ and push them further away so that they believe in what they believe stronger. And as a new Christian, I thought I was doing the right thing, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. But your comfort zone, it is hard, I think, at least for me, it wasn't easy to start talking about it, because you have all these emotions going on. I mean, there's a lot of questions that people could ask you about the Bible. So a lot of it is even asking somebody, I think it's the fear of the unknown. If you open that door, what is somebody going to say to you? We don't know, do we? And that's what the scary part is. As humans, we fear the unknown. As humans, we are taught not to talk about it. So we have all these things not to talk about our faith. So we're getting pressed down and oppressed versus being able to freely talk about it and share about it. So I'm going to have First Joshua 1:9 come up here. And this one is like, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not dismay, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when you are talking about your faith, God's right with you. I mean, you accept him into your heart. He's living with you everywhere you go. And that, to me, that gives me so much. It talks about be strong and courageous. I think God knew that we were going to be challenged in our life and have a hard time talking about our faith to unbelievers or people where we weren't really sure where they're at in their walk with Christ. I mean, it could be just as simple as when someone new joins our small group, hey, where are you at with your walk with Christ? And let them talk. They may be, I'm an atheist. Say, no, that's cool, no problem. What questions do you have? Why did you want to come to a small group? And it could be you just never know what they're going to say. So have courage. Another verse is in 2 Timothy. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So if I break this down a little bit, he gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power. Okay? Power. I mean, you have Jesus inside of you. You are powerful with that. But what's the very next thing he tells you to do? Use it to love people. Okay? He doesn't say use that power to manipulate people, to belittle them, make them feel bad about themselves, to do that. He says, you have the power, so therefore you should have the confidence, because your power is going to be stronger than their weakness without Christ, their concerns. Because even if they disagree with you, you still have the power of Christ in you. He says, but love them. That's the next thing he says. And then he says, in self-control. So that means you can't get upset if they're not receiving it. And you don't have to push their boundaries if they're not receiving it. If they're not receiving it, you can just love them anyway and accept them for who they are and just continue to be their friend and love them. Okay? I think it's in order there. And again, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a scholar. So Chad may correct me when he gets back. But I just think there's a good order for that. There's power. Use your power to love other people, not manipulate or control them, but then also make sure you control yourself and know where you are in your boundaries and having that conversation with somebody, okay? Another verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. For all the ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So just acknowledge him in everything you do. And people give you a compliment, anything that happens, I think you can acknowledge God in those situations. And let that be your testimony. I mean, I like to drop subtle seeds when I'm at work. I mean, I'm in a workplace, so you have to play this political game of being politically correct, and you can't force it on people, you can't make people feel like that. But I do like to drop some seeds every once in a while, let them know that, hey, I'm a Christian. Or hey, I'm gonna be praying for you. Or hey, can I pray? Would you mind if one of the employees that reports to me comes in, they go say they're going through something hard, I say, can we shut the door? Or do you mind if I pray for you? And if they say no, I say, hey, that's totally fine. But I want them to know that I'm a Christian. I'm not scared to talk to them about it or pray with them about it. Let's see here. Then Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out and do this. Again, it's going to make us comfortable, which we have an exercise here in a little bit for that. So be prepared to get stretched outside your comfort zones. You guys are not looking too happy about that one. So we'll get to it. So, but I also heard this too. I heard, and this is, I like to make fun of it. I say, this is first Dylan, second opinion. Okay? So, everybody get that? So it's not really exactly from the, but I believe like faith is an action, okay? The more you do something, the stronger it gets, okay? And that's just anything. You're trying to learn how to do, like if you're working with your kids on spelling, the more they spell, the better they're going to get. The more they do the math problems, the better they're going to get. The more you do something, the stronger it gets. You can even use it in the weight room as a kid. I remember junior high, you started weightlifting classes. You go to the gym in town, and as about 100 pounds soaking wet in seventh grade. I was like, I'm going to go to this gym, and I'm going to put no weight on that darn bar because I can't lift it. And I'm going to bench press it, and it's going to be this awkward thing where I can barely get the bar up. And it's really awkward, especially when the big guys are over there looking at you like, look at this kid. I mean, then you're, and be honest with you, as new believers, that's probably how we feel when we talk about sharing our faith. Because the guy was probably looking at me thinking, oh, I'm glad that guy's in the gym. I'm glad he's trying to get stronger. I'm glad he's here. My perspective of that is like, why is that dude staring at me? Yes, I'm weak. Quit looking at me, is what I was. And I think that's what we do kind of as new believers too. We don't have the confidence to talk about it, our faith. But over time, if you continue, I was talking to Itati earlier about, she was just doing some different things with just lifting. Your faith is a muscle. Just when she set a personal record, I hope I can share this stuff, Itati. You saying good? It's okay? Okay. But she sent some personal records of just doing like some deadlifts and things. But the same thing with, I think, with our faith. She's been working out, and so she's going to hit stronger. She can get stronger and get stronger. You can look at it. I heard a pastor say one time, even as faith, at first, his faith was for his congregation to be able to keep the lights on in his building. He just wanted enough money. Just let me have enough to have the lights on so I can have people come in here. And then as things went on, his faith grew. People came. And then he's like, now my faith goal is to make $100,000, but have $100,000 so we can build this church completely debt-free. So even as a pastor, he was praying that there's enough money to keep the lights on. But as his faith grew, guess what? He was then praying for 100,000 people. I think that's a good prayer for our church too. Right now we have one person on staff, paid staff. Everything else is done volunteers. I think it would be cool as our faith grows and as our giving grows that we bring more people on staff too. All right, so we'll get going here. I also think about faith and how we have faith in so many things that don't really matter. Like you have faith in the chair that you're sitting in. What would happen if a chair broke 50% of the time when you sat down in it? First of all, it'd be hilarious. There'd be a lot of cameras in classrooms watching people fall. But second of all, it's funny the things that we put faith in. We'll sit down without thinking about it. We'll start our car without thinking about it. Unless it's your car, like one of the cars I had in college, where you're just praying it starts. And then your faith is a little wavery. But faith is something I think it takes action to do. So we're going to do a quick exercise. So this is the comfort zone one, all right? So you have to listen to all my instructions before you do something, because otherwise you could be really uncomfortable if you don't listen to everything, okay? So we're going to do this. I'm going to have you, just real quick, when I say, everyone's looking at me, but when I say look to your neighbor, you're going to look to your neighbors, and all you're going to do to your neighbors is you're going to smile and nod, okay? That's all you're going to, not yet, you got to listen to instructions because it could go bad at the end. So I want you to just look at your neighbors, the person left and person your right, whether you know them or not, and just look at them, smile and nod, okay? Go. Okay, there's some good laughter. I like that. That's good. Okay. All right. So now I'm going to have you close your eyes real quick because I'm going to paint a picture for you. I want you to envision that you're in Switzerland. Okay? I've never been there, but I Googled it before I came. And I want you to envision beautiful mountains, really lush green valleys. The buildings are made of stone. The bridges are beautiful, old bridges, just amazing bridges. And then you see a Swiss person come up to you. And if you know anything about Switzerland, they don't shake hands, they kiss. Okay, so they give you a kiss on the lips too sometimes. So sometimes maybe on the cheek. So keep your eyes closed. Now I want you to remember that person to your right and that person to your left. Okay, keep them closed. Okay, I told you this is going to stretch you outside your comfort zone. Okay, so the suspense is killing some of you, I know it. So keep your eyes closed and look straight forward. But when I tell you to open your eyes, I want you to open your eyes, and I just want you to smile and nod at the person to your left and right. Open your eyes. So, so anyway, oh, some are kissing, that's great. Fantastic. Even better. We are already outside our comfort zone. We're such a good church, so this is great. No, it's that feeling you get when you're getting stretched outside your comfort zone. You get nervous. Your hands get, you start stuttering. Maybe you think, how am I going to say this? That's the same thing when we go to share our faith. I mean, you are going to have that time where you're like, do I talk about my faith to this person? How do I say it? What do I say? What do I do? But the important thing is that you do it. You will learn how to get better at sharing it if you just take a leap of faith and try. Okay? So, all right. Let's see here. Now you have the balloons. Actually, I'm going to go grab a balloon too real quick. If you can grab a balloon, you want to run me up one, buddy? I don't know if I'll cause everything go crazy if I do this. All right. So we have a balloon. I want everybody to try to blow up that balloon real quick. Okay. All right, now let the air out. Not loud. Not loud. There's kids in. Yeah, I figured there'd be someone to do that. So, okay, now I want you to do this to your balloon. I want you to stretch it. Stretch it this way here. Stretch it this way here. Okay, and I want you to try to blow it up again. Okay, I need a volunteer, and hopefully this goes right. Yes, this is my man. What's your name, buddy?
Dalen.
What, Kaylin?
Dalen.
That's kind of like Dylan. All right. So you can stay there. I'm just going to ask you, was it easier to blow up the balloon the first time or the second time?
Second time.
Second time. All right. Dalen, because it rhymes with Dylan kind of, you're awesome, okay? You can sit down. So whole thing of that was a balloon blows up easier when it gets stretched. As human beings, when we have conversations, it gets easier when we get stretched. So hopefully my goal of this exercise was that every time you see a balloon, you remind yourself, did I stretch myself outside my comfort zone? Is there someone who I could have talked to about Christ? Is there a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, somebody going through something that I could help them and just maybe be one of those 7 touch points that could lead them to Christ? Because you never know what touch point it's going to be that leads somebody to Christ. But you can know that you can be one of the 7 if you just stick out your hand or you smile or you say, hey, and you just start that conversation. So with that, I'm going to have the band come up here. And while they get up here, I'm going to talk about a couple things here. This week actually has been a lot of heavy stuff. Actually, just one heavy thing really hit me this week is... One, I want you during this song, I want you to have some time to reflect, because I just think reflection is so important. And the whirlwind of busyness that we live in, we don't get a lot of time to reflect. And so during the song, I want you to reflect. But I had a phone call, it was Friday night, I got a phone call at midnight. And usually if there's a phone call at midnight, you answer it because you don't know what that person's going through, right? So I get a phone call, and I'm just going to say the guy's name is John for the story, and I don't want to get out to him, but he typically calls. He's a high school friend. He's one of my best friends in high school. We don't stay in real close contact anymore, but he's someone I know if I called him up, he'd do anything for me, and I would do the same for him. He didn't have a good, strong father figure in his life. I would say he's not a Christian. He always looks at me as the good guy, the good person, and you can do that, Dylan, because you're a good person, but I'm a bad person. He's probably done things he ought not do with people before he's married. And he called me up at midnight, so I answered the call, because I'm always scared that he's going to talk about ending his old life. So I don't know why I do this. I always answer that call. I could tell he's been drinking. And he wasn't really even calling me. He was actually calling me to say something really stupid that happened to a city festival at our hometown. But he goes, hey, Dylan, he's like, you remember what you told me when before my daughter was born? Yeah, Trent. Or John. John. Sorry, Trent. He would know. I mean, I don't care if he hears it, but... Now I do. I was like, because I remember calling him up one time, and it was a baby that maybe might not have been planned. I wasn't sure how their relationship was, but I remember I found out that he's having a baby, so I just want to call him and be that encouraging friend. And he goes, Dylan, you told me that all babies are blessings. I said, yes, they are. They are all blessings. And he goes, you called me at the perfect time because I was in my basement. And he's like, I just didn't know where I was at in my life, and I didn't know where things are going. He was like, that's one thing that I always remember is that babies are blessings, and that what I was thinking at that time, everything's going to be okay. And then he proceeded to talk to me, and he goes, we talked about it, probably 6 months to a year later, and I tried to open the door a little bit more for a Christian conversation with him. I just said, hey, I was like, I don't even know what I said to him, to be honest with you. But he reminded me, he was like, on Friday night when he called me, he was like, Dylan, because I've been thinking a lot more about God. Again, who knows if it's the alcohol, but it gives me another way I can probably reach out to him, talk to him. Because I've been thinking a lot about God lately. I was like, good. He goes, the thing I've been thinking about is like, where was God when so-and-so just committed suicide this week? And it was someone that was a college class or a high school classmate of mine. It was his little brother. His little brother was a really good, funny kid. You'd never think he would ever do that to himself. He's like, where was God there, Dylan? And I was like, you know, Trent, I don't know. And I was like, hey, I think in this life there's good, which is God, and I think there's evil, which is the devil. And if the devil will isolate you and put you away, he'll make you do things that you shouldn't do. He'll have you do life alone. Who have you do things, play games in your head that you think you're not worth it to end your own life. And to me, it's just like, I just wish that kid that ended his life, that he would have had 7 points of contact so he could have a relationship with Christ, so he would know any void could have been filled through Christ. And which left me the door open. I can call Trent when he's not probably under the influence sometime this week, and just see how often he does talk about God. Well, this has been going on for years that I've had this conversation with him, so it won't happen over time. It's the seeds that we're planting as a church that can make a difference in people's lives. So as the band plays, I just want you, if you're a non-believer, I want you to take some serious thought, and I want you to think, what's holding me back? What questions do I have unanswered? Why am I not doing life with other people? If you're doing life alone, don't do it anymore. It's too hard. It's too hard. Get involved with a small group, an XP group. So if you're a non-believer, if you don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ, talk to us after the service. Talk to someone in an orange shirt, and we can give you more information on that. But if you're a believer, take this time to reflect and just say, who can I talk to this week? Is it a neighbor? Is it a friend? Is it a coworker? What doors open? And what doors can I walk through to have those conversations? Because depression rates are too high, anxiety rates are too high, suicide rates are too high. Too many people are out there. In the world that we live in, we have phones that give us every answer we want. We don't feel like we need other people. But we do. We need to be a community where we live together. So as this song plays, just reflect on that. Give yourself some time to think about that, and then I'll come up and wrap everything up. So just one more verse I wanted to end with, and then we'll close out in prayer, is Acts 20:24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. So let's finish the race strong. Let's go out this week, and let's be one of those 7 touch points. So if you could just bow your heads and pray. Father, I come to you and just ask that we get out of our own way and just have the courage to start conversations, to be maybe one of those 7 touch points to just draw someone closer to you. I pray that everyone sees it, every time they see a balloon, that they remember that they have a story to share and that they need to share it with somebody. I pray that the conversations are blessed that they have and they evolve into deeper conversations. I pray that the people here today, if they're not part of a small group or an XP group, that they get connected and just start doing life together. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.